Hello, everybody. Welcome to Two is Better Than One. And here we are. As you all might know, I am freestyle recording artist Arlene, host of Adelante with Arlene. And with me is my friend and my co-host. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Give it up. Give it up for me.
And for those of you who know Duran, you know that he not only is a songwriter, but a recording artist and also part of the group Trilogy and so much more. So I am so happy that he is here with Two is Better Than One. Welcome, Duran. Welcome.
Hey.
How you been, my friend? How you been, my brother?
Oh, man, I've been by the grace of God, going by the grace of God, the grace.
So true, so true. Because, you know, Duran and I had a conversation on the phone and he said that he wanted to talk about the grace of God and, well, so much more that I'm going to let him tell you as we go along the way. But, you know, on this show, on Two is Better Than One, we're relaxed. We're going to share with you our faith, our inspiration from God. And we have hopes that you will be able to be blessed, because we know you will be, and apply it to your own life. But we're here to just be our natural selves. This is just Arlene and Duran, no titles, just ourselves. So at the beginning of every Two is Better Than One, those that have viewed will know that I always say a quote that the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself, has dropped into my spirit, into my heart, which I have one today. The other day, Duran, after we spoke about grace and mercy of the Lord, it was just the way God works. I was sleeping and half asleep, half awake, and all of a sudden words, you get what I'm saying? And I was like, oh my God, help me remember these words. And here it goes. What is grace? Well, it's a word that is so misunderstood and rarely defined correctly. Grace is something that we rarely extend towards one another, yet grace is something that we need even when we least know that we need it. That, to me, coming from God, is already a sermon in itself, Duran. I'm like, I'm going to break this up with you, but I'm also going to use this in yet another video that's going to take about three parts.
All right. If you wanna, I wouldn't mind hearing when you, when I said it'd be nice if we can talk about grace, and you were kindly enough to agree with that topic. I wanted to know what you said. You did some studying, so I would love to hear how.
Yeah. So you know, the reason that this God dropped this in my spirit was because I was wrestling myself. I was like, I've heard, you know, mercy, grace, the beautiful mercy and grace in the Bible. And to tell you the truth, I got a small revelation, versus yet I think I have to do so much of a lifelong study about it. Get what I mean? It's like when I think I got a little bit of it, of what grace is, I then learned that it's so much more than what I thought. Now, I do know that grace, you know, is unmerited, abounding provision of the unrestricted operation of God's infinite love. I'm going to say that again since I stumbled through it. Grace is the unmerited, abounding provision of the unrestricted operation of God's infinite love. Listen, even that got me, because first of all, we can take the word unmerited, abounding, provision, unrestricted, infinite. That, again, is a whole study in itself. So basically, this is what I got out of it that I needed for myself, is that grace is God's love. It's his infinite love. Because when we get to the point of salvation, which I just want you to hit it, like, you know, you talk about that if you can later on at the end, you know, towards the end, I needed the basics. I had to know that grace is undeserved. And what I mean by that is, as a sinner, as a person that was also outside the will of God, I wasn't serving the Lord. I did a lot of things knowingly and unknowingly, but I really didn't know the repercussions back then of my actions, what they would be. I had like no, let me say, for the lack of better words, no measuring stick, no, nothing to go by. I wasn't serving God. So I basically did what I did, said what I wanted to say. And there were sometimes and many times consequences to my actions. But there was something always inside of me due to the fact that we are creations of God, but I wasn't really serving God, but I was created by God. There was still something greater than myself that would make me feel uncomfortable about certain actions and behaviors of mine. Some people may call it, you know, I don't know, guilty conscience. That's not what it was for me. It was something I didn't understand that I understand better now. And this is why grace is so important to embrace, God's grace and mercy. Because if it wasn't for God's mercy, which means that his mercy did not allow me to really get the, I hate using this word, but I guess the punishment that I deserved for my sin, because I wasn't walking with Jesus. If it wasn't for his mercy, then I wouldn't understand his grace. And this is where it could get confusing. But I don't want to confuse anybody. So mercy was me not getting what I really deserved. But I didn't get it because God is so graceful. He's so loving and he's infinite. And when I was doing some studies, I realized that God is God and God pours out his mercy and grace upon whoever he desires, whether we were serving the Lord or not serving. The point is, back then, I wasn't serving him, but did not recognize that the mighty hand of God was still being merciful towards me. Now, did that give me a license to sin? No. The more when I got saved, I realized that I can receive more abundant and abounding an unrestricted amount of grace when I serve him, because I am under him, serving him, and surrendered to him. But when I wasn't serving the Lord, he still was merciful. He still was graceful. But I feel like there was so much more that I could have had in my life, or so much more grace, so much more mercy, if I had, and so much more blessing if I was serving him. Do you get what I mean? It's like almost like I held the hand of God by taking back, you know, the reins and doing things my way. So every time there was a bump, there was a consequence, but the consequence could have been worse. But now I see that he had mercy upon my life and he loved me and extended his grace. So it's like grace to me is a really powerful word that I understand better as given by God and a gift by God and something that I really need in my life. And I think that when we know that God has given us grace in our lives and mercy, then we should be able to extend it towards another human being, whether we like them or we don't like them. We can be not only sympathetic towards somebody's needs, but we can be empathetic and put ourselves in their shoes. So that's a lot I just said, but that's how I feel about it in very plain, layman terms. That's it. That's how I'm feeling. I mean, it's a lot more notes to talk about. And I also have, you know, scripture here. But I just needed to tell you that that was my wrestling. I was like, okay, mercy. Okay, grace.
That's cool. My experience with grace was it was a challenge because I didn't believe it.
Wow.
I think I came in like everybody else does. We believe that we somehow have something to do with our salvation. And grace is granted to us. So salvation becomes something by way of faith that we receive that is given to us. And we have to find grace. There's a lot of people that can that know of Christ, but they don't know of his grace. You have to find it in his word. And the word is a treasure. And we're constantly finding new things when we meditate on the word of God and we search the word of God. But one thing for me, as far as grace, I didn't believe it because it sounded too good to be true. When I started reading verses like, salvation comes only by way of grace through faith, you know, that no man should boast. It made it difficult for me to accept what I was believing I was believing that I maintained my salvation. So I removed myself from grace and kind of put it upon me to hold my salvation. And people are not really taught well enough of what we've been given by way of Christ and his sacrifice. And so I heard this message back in the 90s by a pastor named David T. Moore. He had a radio show called More on Life, M-O-O-R-E, More on Life. And he had a sermon that was a few weeks called Promises, Promises. And every week I waited for him to share that word because it sounded too good to be true, that God forgave me all my sin. Everything, even the sins that I haven't committed in tomorrow's sins. So I'm completely washed today. And that was hard to accept because I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me I could do whatever I can do? Like you said, we can do whatever we want and I can act any way I can. And there is truth to that. Only because Paul also clarifies that, you know, you are free in Christ, but not everything is edifying. Not everything that you're...
Yes, I love that scripture.
So be wise with your freedom, but you are free. The Son has set you free indeed. And I didn't accept it. I had a hard time and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I was like, this man is saying that, you know, God is giving us his love for like we have nothing to do with it. We don't have any laws to maintain. And so that was difficult. So it was a process. And I wanted to believe it with my whole heart. I was like, oh, man, Lord, I wish that was true, that what this man is saying, that you completely have forgiven me of all my sin. And I was already in church. I was a worship leader and I still was struggling with the understanding of grace. And so it's been a long journey, but now I'm so, I can say excitingly that I have finally found the understanding of grace in my life. I have received it because if you, like in Hebrews 4, it says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Confianza. So that means we can go before God's throne of grace with confidence. What gives us confidence? My good works, the works of Christ. I can come before the throne of God. And that is that the grace that he's given us by way of the sacrifice. So it says there, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So when we're needing something, whenever we're feeling crazy or whenever I was feeling, doubtful and all that, I needed to abide under the covering of grace. I let him wash my mind again and renew my mind to know that he has given me all that I need in Christ. And I have been fully forgiven.
And I see what you just said. You just said when you need it. And the quote the Lord gave me says, yet grace is something that we need even when we least knew or know that we need it. You also said something, everything you're saying, scriptures is coming. That scripture that Paul, I think it was in the book of Corinthians, he said, everything is permissible. I'm gonna cut it shorter, but not everything is beneficial. I found it that way in another translation that blew my mind. Pretty much, we can go on and do whatever we wanna do. It is that free will that has still been given to us, right? Okay. But is it really beneficial? You know, that's the thing when you're walking in Christ that you now, as you get into his word, are able to weigh what our actions are against what the word of God says that they need to be. And when I say need to be, it's not that God is trying to dominate us, to control us per se. It's because he knows the best for us. And the best is what he knows we need. And once we accept the fact that, like Duran just said, Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved, but through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works of what we do, so that by no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Again, another loaded, everything you just said, and you mentioned that scripture. It is so loaded because like you just said, for for me, grace and mercy, it was this whole big toss up. I was like, okay, I understand mercy, but grace, leaving out that to me, the fact that, like you just said, mercy has been extended towards us and towards me and towards those that he loves, his creation. But I didn't understand, and I do now, the grace aspect of it, that it was all coming from the gift of his infinite love. It was a gift, a gift, a gift. But it's a gift that I believe that after you had an awakening, you know, and your eyes have been open and continue to seek him, that we don't want to ever take for granted. Once you've learned that it is a gift of God's divine love, is a divine gift, then it is not about working in a sense of earning it, but working out our walk in Christ to become closer to him, to become changed and renewed by him, and all those steps. Because I think sometimes if I say the word work, again, I'm thinking that I'm going to do something to earn it.
But that's religion. And that I'm actually writing a paper called Religious Christianity.
Okay, that's great.
And it's basically that is how Christianity has now become a religion when it wasn't meant to be a religion, but we you know, we're filling with rules, regulations, traditions, you know, you have to do this, you should do that, and a relationship is something that should grow organically, and it should be real. It should be like, for example, my wife and I. I love my wife and my wife loves me. I don't necessarily look for ways to, like, okay, she, you know, I need to appease my wife, and constantly all day trying to think of ways to appease my wife. And then what happens is that I become consumed with my actions on how I'm appeasing my wife. And it becomes what we then start sacrificing ourselves and my time or my peace for someone else, and we start serving from way of our own strength. We're not serving from love, where it genuinely moves freely, but we're trying to force ourselves to look the part. And my wife and I have been together a long time, and we understand that sometimes I have an attitude, sometimes she has an attitude, sometimes I have short patience from the day, and she might. And so we give each other grace to just allow, you know, that's not mercy, that's grace, to just, I understand, it's the freedom to work it all out within ourselves. With God, it's interesting because his grace is one that calms us of any fear, of any doubt, that we are aligned with him, that we are completely aligned with him by way of faith, that his work is sufficient. When he said it was finished, it was done. I can't add more to the finished work of Christ. To say that is blasphemy. And then it's to say that Christ is enough, but I got to keep it up. Thus, me and Jesus saved me. And that's the way of religious thinking. And the enemy wants us to keep having that kind of relationship with God, because we're never living in the fulfillment and the freedom and the joy that we find simply in the work, the promise of God through his word, through Christ.
You just talked about something that was a part of my quote when I said grace is something we rarely extend towards one another, right? Now, you did extend it towards your wife, but you only extended it because you were aware that God has given that gift to you. So now you in that are walking and your walk with the grace of God and extending it exactly up with her. And it's so true. Then it becomes less of a work because it's covered in love. And because that love is inside of you and you understand grace as it's been given and continues to be given to you, it's finished, but as you continue to receive it, then now you're able to extend that towards another. And that's why, to me, this quote the Holy Spirit gave me is profound, because you're talking and I'm talking about, and you're hitting the same things that were written here. You're giving grace because grace was given and is given to you, and the love of Christ and his divine gift of that love is now you extend to someone else. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to question it. You just freely give it because God has so given it to you. And it wasn't because of works.
And that's love, right? Because God gives us his love. For, you know, God first loved us. And by first loving us, we're able to love him back. No one can, you know, if God is love and I have no God in me, I need God in order to give him back God. I need love in order to give him back love. And I need to receive love from him in order to have it towards others, even towards myself. I'm very impatient with myself. I'm very hard on myself. I'm very, I was cracking the whip in the beginning when I first came to the Lord. I said, I got to stop this. You got to stop that. You got to start. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you call yourself a Christian and you do. And this is all in my head.
I know. So,
the renewing of the mind, the renewing of the mind to continue to wash in the glory of God, to continue to allow that truth to reign over you. That takes meditation.
Yeah.
People don't meditate on God's word enough. I personally think. I think we hear a word and we're like, amen. But we don't let it, we don't really allow that seed to go deeper in the soil. And some people allow the seed to only go so deep and they'll praise God for a little while. But then when trials and tribulations come, oh, I don't know. Where's God at? I don't know what God is doing. So their faith is lacking. They have shallow faith. And that's why the parable of this of the sower and the seeds. Mm-hmm. And he says, I threw some by the wayside. And I threw some that fell by the thorns and thistles or the rocks and those by thorns and thistles. And none of those three produce fruit. And if you read them, you see the seed actually receive it. They receive the word of God. They're excited. But the word is not deep in them.
Right.
And thus they don't have, they continue to be tormented by the world and trials and cares and have not understood how to move to the good soil, which is one that tills the heart, which is one that allows his word to reach deep into those chambers that you got beef in your life. You know, it's really let the light of God shine in inside of you and remove the darkness that dwells in your mind and your emotions and your heart. And
but you know, Duran, I found too, though, totally, absolutely, that's the word of God. But I've also found that because we haven't arrived, as you know, reached the epitome of perfection, and we won't on this earth, you know, we are that work in progress. I feel that while I'm grounded in the word of God, I still have moments because of the issues of life, of things that I might have not dealt with. And now it's the time to deal with it. And God has presented a specific issue, something that I need to work on and change about myself, for my well-being, for my mental well-being as well. I can feel that, like you said, woo, you know, all that craziness or whatever. And I, for a moment, can doubt that I have faith. When in reality, I do have faith because I continue to seek him. I go through a dark period, but I don't go through that dark period alone because his grace is still with me in that dark period. He illuminated those places of darkness. I'm still standing on solid ground, as the Bible says. And while the waves are coming back and forth, and for a moment, my mind will focus on the trouble and I will feel like I'm defeated, as long as I keep my eyes upon him, as long as I continue to seek him out, search him out, I will overcome it. And he then shows by the power of his Holy Spirit how to get healed, delivered, and well through it, and how to even strengthen the faith more in an area where my faith might have been weak. So those moments don't make me less of a Christian. They just are the refining aspect, because God loves me so much that by his divine grace, he gives me the strength to see it through so that I may grow, so that if ever that situation wants to present itself to me again, I am better prepared on how to walk it through without the fear, without the doom and gloom. But instead, I stand strong and I press through in Christ Jesus, and I'm able to share with another person. So Duran is not saying out there to you people that there's perfection and that you lack faith if you go through hard times. That's not what he's saying. Not saying that. He said, you know, you're going to have hard times. You're going to have trials and tribulations, and you're going to feel for a moment like, oh my God, did I lose faith? You know, did that seed not grow? That's not what he's saying. He was very specific about what he was saying. What I'm saying to you is you will have those moments, but be of good courage and know that you're standing on that good ground that he was talking about. And that's Jesus Christ, that he's already finished and seen you through something that you're walking through right now. And you're going to,
we got to be prepared. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interject.
No, it's okay. I'm gonna throw it back at you after this, because you mentioned this to me, this word position. This is when you know during those fiery trials that you see that seed has definitely been there in good ground. Everything has been going along, and all of a sudden, wham, you're going through the storms. You're freaking out. You don't know how to handle a specific situation because you've never gone through it or you never dealt with it. Well, you're going to find out, okay, that you are beloved. And that now you're going to take your position in Christ. You're going to learn how to take that position in Christ. You're going to rise up and say, no, 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 no. Even through the winds blowing, it doesn't mean you lack faith. It just means you got to go through what you got to go through to be refined, to make you stronger, make you better, and for you to be reminded of God's grace and your position and promises in him.
And the more and more that we do that, the more we die to ourselves and our, you know, our ways and our concerns and our doubts. When I'm being attacked, last year was a trying year. We had quite a bit that we went through here in my house with my daughter and my son and my wife and my friends and family. It was a lot of trials. So it's easy to take, you know, wear on your soul, wear on your emotions. And if it wasn't for me personally to find not the way I move forward to Christ is not by correcting my actions. The way I personally move forward to Christ is to allow myself to be overcome by his love, because I'm in turmoil. I'm looking at the world. It's pulling me in. It's drawing my energy. And so I come before him and just bask again in the reminder of my first love. In the last days, many will forget their first love. If you study Revelation on that church in Ephesus, they were out here looking at, oh, this guy ain't Christian. Oh, these people, if you look at it, they actually are people who know, but they themselves lost their first love. So they become judges of men by way of the word, like, oh, this person is not saved or whatever. However, they confess how they see others. And then God reminds them and says, but you slipping because you're forgetting that you were saved in the same way that and you must remain in that same headspace. That it is God alone who saves you. So now you can carry the mercy and the grace to others instead of judgment, mm-hmm. harassment, you know, looking at people through, you know, the speck in their eye, you know, the plank.
Yes, the book of Matthew.
You got a plank in yours. Mm-hmm. That's lack of grace. That's mm-hmm. lack of grace. That's understanding of God's law, but not understanding of God's love. Because his love covers a multitude of sin. So if his love covers a multitude of sin, and where there is sin, God's grace abounds even greater.
Amen.
That should bring us to a place to know that we have truly been saved. I am truly saved. No matter what I do.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. I have a scripture to say right after you about that. Go ahead. So Hebrews 4, I think you said this one, Hebrews 4, 15, 16, only because I don't want to lose it. And you get back to that thought. It says, remember that when we're feeling a certain way that I just talked about, that turmoil or we're lacking or we're judging other people, which is the book of Matthew talks about taking out the plank in your eye before you check out the speck in your brother's eye. In other words, check yourself well before you be looking at somebody else and pointing at them because of this. For we do, when we're weak, for we do not have, okay. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. My brother, I'm so blessed right now because you bringing up that scripture, everything you're saying, you know, this is what we mean, my brothers and sisters, my friends, our friends out there, that basically we're speaking to you what's in the scripture. Everything my brother has said, everything I'm saying is literally in the scripture. Okay. So when we're weak and when we're going through all these changes and everything, don't be, you know, be of good courage. Keep seeking the Lord. We just told you, keep moving forward. Sigue adelante with God a day at a time. You'll make it through. Stop blaming others. Let the Lord shine those things upon us inside of you, inside of me, so that we may grow healthier and be well. But when we've done that and we think we have arrived, we must remember that he, God, empathizes with us in our weaknesses. And as he extended grace to you, my friends out there, during your time in need, you will need and should, in the same love, extend that grace towards another person and approach his throne with confidence, even in those really low times where you don't know what's going on. Still approach his throne with confidence, because you're going to receive the mercy he's told you you're going to receive and the grace that he told you that you need. And he's always said that from the beginning. You're going to get it. You're going to receive it. Says it right there in the scriptures.
Amen.
So you're blowing me away. You're blowing me away. You're blowing me away, because everything you're saying is everything that I'm hearing the scriptures. Oh, you know, you're blowing me away.
Righteousness is not attained by any other way but imputed or given to us by way of Christ. So there is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. That means that we have no good in us. I have no good in me but God.
Yes, amen.
I have no good in, for example, if God was not in me, yeah, I would be me. And I would be the me that was the wild me that didn't and was hurt and was ruled by his past, you know, his father's abuses or the bullying or the tragedies. And you're ruled by all these things that have happened, these events in your life. And so you become a product of your past. And that's natural. That's not your fault. That's not our fault. We're products of our past. And it isn't until God renews us with new birth. That's why he says you're a new creation. You got to renew your mind, even your subconscious. Your subconscious mind is the one that's really ruling behind your conscious mind. So it causes you to do certain things or act certain. And sometimes you might not even know, like, I don't know why, you know, something doesn't feel right. Or your subconscious is protecting you from things that you might have experienced in the past. And so we have to renew our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind is only renewed by the way of God and meditation. Is required in order to reach the word, reach deeper into the inner part of you, not the outer part of you that's trying to compliment God and show people that you create. Not that, the deep part of you that now it even changes your habits, it changes your mood, he changes your, he changes all of you. And that's what happened and is still happening in my life and in any true believer's life. They'll know that they're progressing towards, you know, towards God and not trying to be God, which is the first temptation. You want to be like God? Do it yourself. And I don't no longer believe that I can be like God or I can be righteous. I believe I am condemned like everybody else and I'm destined to die like everybody else. However, Christ has given us a way back to the Father. And now all we do is just announce the good news to the world that right now the door is open of salvation for all men. It don't matter who you are, Gentile or Jew, all men. And when I say men, I mean mankind can come before the Lord right now by way of Christ and receive the forgiveness and mercy and grace. And he gives us his righteousness by accepting him. We become the righteousness of God here on earth.
Yes. Amen.
We are the kingdom.
And so, because Jesus was the pro- propitiation for us. It means that averting the wrath of God by the offering of a gift. And that's what Jesus was, the gift that took our sin. It refers to the turning away of the wrath of God as the just judgment of our sin by God's own provision of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our salvation comes by his grace. God's grace not only offers salvation, but it also secures it. When you're saved, it refers to being delivered from God's wrath and final judgment. It says it in the book of Romans, chapter 5, 9. And then this says here, by grace you have been saved. And it is repeated in Ephesians 2, 5 also.
Paul goes crazy in Galatians. He goes right. In fact, you know what falling from grace is?
Tell me.
Defining, according to the scripture, falling from grace is going back to his law. Anybody who goes back under the rulership of his law is condemned. You can't. He's the new milk. He's the Melchizedek. He changed the order. Like, we're not even supposed to be looking at.
Amen.
We're not even supposed to be looking at the Ten Commandments or any of the 613 commandments that were given to the Jews. That's a whole nother covenant. We are in a new order. He comes in a new order, and he's now given us a promise, or he's fulfilled the promise that God had made to Abraham before he gave him the law. He gave him a promise, and that's the promise that we all now believe in, is that God so loved the world. And I could keep going with this stuff, because
the book of Romans, when I studied it in college, you know, is considered, quote unquote, the book of the righteousness of God, that we are the righteousness that we only in right standing with God, okay, because of God. So when God the Father looks, I'm going to give a little plain little illustration. When he looks at us, the creation, and his followers, he doesn't see us. He sees his son. We're covered in his blood, is what I mean to say. Not that he doesn't see us and doesn't know us. So we don't go to the Father unless we go through the Son. So when the Father is looking, he sees us through the Son because of what the sacrifice of the Son.
So well, it's a Romans, real story.
Yeah, it's amazing. Romans 5, 20 to 21 says, but the law in the meantime entered in, that sin should increase. Nevertheless, where there was much sin, there was more abundance of grace. So that as sin had reigned unto death, so also grace could reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the help of Jesus Christ. That's everything you just said. The scripture, what you just said a few minutes ago, you know, about the law, you know, the abundance of grace, eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing. The thing that I think that a lot, and I'm going to get real right now and just simple. I think that when we're trying to change anything on our own of our lives, and that's me naturally, right? Even when I came to Christ because of the way I was programmed, the way I was accustomed to. What can I do to make myself skinnier, right? I'm just going to use a silly thing. What can I do to do this? But when it came to my emotional things, my issues of life, or when it came to my sin, you know, there was never really anything I can do that would ever change the way I felt. It wouldn't take away my shame. It wouldn't give me good coping mechanisms, because I study psychology too, you know, in a sense. I put them together because God made us completely. And I was studying to be a licensed clinician, Christian-based. So I learned, you know, God made me, right? But I need to renew my mind. And whatever I set my mind on, you know, that's what I will practice. And that's what a lot of people do outside of Christ. So as a Christian, with understanding that some of us, which for me, my making, because I live in the natural world, I needed steps, right? So I believe in the AA program. I believe in therapy. I believe in all that. But when I came to the program of Al-Anon or AA, I came and I happened to have come already saved. And what I mean by that is I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I welcomed him. I knew I needed him. So when I did this program of AA and Al-Anon and worked the steps, I saw the correlation of the steps with the Word of God. I had a script, I had a Bible that would take me through the 12 steps, and that Bible would take me to the scripture. And I went in there knowing who my Savior is, knowing who the higher power is. And as a result, my mind understands the therapeutic aspect of it. And what I mean is that when God shines light upon, and he already took our sins, that he, shame is gone. He extended his grace. He already gave us salvation and a gift of faith and a bunch of other incredible gifts that he gives. When I know that, I am in a good place. Now, do we expect things to happen depending on our personalities? We expect them to happen either immediately. So for instance, Arlene is saved and she thinks now that she's going to know how to dress better, talk better, act better. You know, she's going to be more patient. She's going to be so, you know, so I learned just probably 2 years after walking with the Lord that I had an identity crisis and that God already had said, hey, you're my child, you're my daughter, you're my daughter. So in order for me to know my father more, I had to spend more time with my father. I had to put aside the things and think that I can control and to change things in myself without him. I had to understand that everything I had learned how to resolve, everything I had learned from my culture, everything I had learned from my mother and father was not the way God wanted me to go. I'm sorry. I love my mom and I love my dad, but they too are imperfect people. And while I might have learned little things that might be good, how to be a young lady that my mom and dad taught me, how to be better in the sense of how I speak to people and be respectful, these things that are, you know, day-to-day things, I still learned a lot more bad things from them. And this is not to crucify them. This is just to show that this is the world we live in. But when we live in Christ Jesus, we learn to forgive our parents for their mistakes. We learn how to forgive those, you know, those things that they didn't know. Now, does it give justification for bad behavior if a parent was abusive as I was abused? No, it doesn't justify my father abusing verbally me, my sister, my mother. No, it doesn't justify it. But I understand better that I give now my father love and that the forgiveness set me free to understand that I am extending grace as grace has been extended upon me. And when we do this and we know that the walk with God is a step at a time, I was freaking out in Chicago. I was looking in the mirror. I had a short, I had a short skirt on, attire that a recording artist is accustomed to wearing on stage as I was, you know, nothing that seemed to be so bad, you know, but something happened when I looked in the mirror and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And I was literally less than a year in the Lord that there was things that were going to be modified. So now I started wearing something different. And then little by little, then I was like, nah, I don't want to wear that. So you see, God didn't force it upon. He was just changing my heart. And then I might have.
Well, he's also making you aware. He's also making you aware at our responsibility that we have as Christian or believers to not become a stumbling block or try not to be a stumbling block for others who are so, you know, We try to be decent, try to be, you know, understanding of others and that, yeah, I mean, that's definitely God working in you and showing you by way of yourself, you being enlightened, knowing God. I said, I don't think I should wear that because that's probably inappropriate for somebody else. Even though you're free to, you know, I think there's certain things that we shouldn't be doing, but. You know, what I'm saying is that
the people that get like, you can't think like if you go to AA, the first thing is step one, right? Okay. You admit that your life is unmanageable. All right. So they don't make you jump from one to 12. You could be stuck on one and have a list of 50 things that you know that is making your life unmanageable. It could overwhelm you. God is not trying to overwhelm us. We just have to accept his love, accept his grace, walk with him, get closer to him, draw closer to him, renew our mind in his word daily. And little by little, the changes start occurring, that God didn't enforce them. We think, like you said, the religion, religiosity, the mind says these are rule one, rule two. I've seen this happen even in the own churches that I've loved, when some brother or sister, in this case, a sister, came up to another sister, not me, and said to that sister something about her clothing. Well, first of all, in the manner in which she said it was wrong. It could have made the girl run out. Okay. Second of all, God loves you, period. He starts making those changes in you for your well-being as well. It's not that you're a bad person. I lost my identity, but I found it in Christ, but it took me a while. You see, because some of us out there that might be listening, you might identify by being a father. It might be your identity is full of being a mother. Maybe your identity is like me. It was being a recording artist. And when you don't have those things that you made, the only thing you knew to be your identity, recording artist Darlene, I was lost. Even in Christ. Now I'm like, okay, I'm in Christ. How am I supposed to think? How am I supposed to dress? Oh my God, is it a sin to like my freestyle music? No, it wasn't a sin to like it. It took me a while, and I heard the Holy Spirit said, every step you took brought you to the place you are in today. So when you said that turn your heart to stone, which is a line I cannot stand on Tender Heart song anymore, he said, no, you are a tender heart. And he showed me in the book of Ezekiel, the version that says tender heart, that he took the stony heart and he gave me a tender heart. So the things that I was running away from, being a tender, loving, a person who would empathize, sympathize with others, had the world and the issues of the world hardened me. And it made me feel like I couldn't be that tender-hearted person. I had to put walls. I had to protect myself. You see, I'm not in that place anymore. While you have to be guarded and wise, I'm not paranoid anymore. I'm a tender-hearted woman. I empathize with those that hurt. I cry for those that I don't even know that are being killed unjustly. I cry. Because God gave me grace too, and I extend my grace upon others. And as God empathizes with us, I have to empathize, not sympathize, empathize, put myself in their shoes, even if they're strangers. So if you out there are saying, I'm no good, listen, none of us are really good. But God loves you too.
None of us are no good.
God loves you. If you're listening out
there, but that's hard. That's hard to accept, because right now, you know, the thinking is that we have good in us. All mankind can choose to be good or bad. And the theory that, you know, that people follow, like in any religion, is to be more good than bad. And at the end of the day, yeah, that will weigh your good versus your bad. And if you're good, I weighs your bad, then you have you know, entrance into eternity. The problem is that we're not gonna be outweighed from our good and bad. The problem is that we're gonna have to look at the perfect law of God and see how we measure up. And once we realize that it's not me against me, it's actually me. How much do I even reflect God? That's a big difference. I definitely see that I'm not a perfect being. And so in that, God is the one who actually embraces us in our condition and in our brokenness and brings us ever closer to him. You know, in the scriptures, Christ, I don't know if I should bring this up because it's not specifically about grace, but it does show that his grace proceeds to all mankind, even the mm-hmm. non-believer. Mm-hmm. When he says that that Adam was the first, you know, because of Adam, all men have sinned and fall into sin. So that means we had nothing to do with our condition. We were born into our condition, which is cursed. So we've been cursed since the beginning. And cursed means that we're condemned to die. So we're a dying breed. And so when you read in Romans or Corinthians, you see that Christ is actually the second Adam. He calls himself the last Adam. So the first Adam condemned all men, while the last Adam brings all men back to God. That's a whole nother teaching. But I believe that Christ really, by his love, that this is how powerful what he did on the cross is, that it extends to those believers and non-believers.
Oh, absolutely.
The believers now are the first fruits. We are the first fruits of Christ. We are part of his first fruits. We are part of the bride that enters in. But that's not all. There are others. There are the Jews who are the wife of God. They're not the bride of Christ. They're the wife of God who was revealed in Revelation 12, that she has the garland of 12 stars and the moon under her feet, and she's wrapped in the sun, and she gives birth to a child. That's Israel. So now we're seeing that, okay, so we're the first fruits, but not everybody will enter in at the same time by the work of Christ. All men will come before the Lord and see God as God. And in the eon to come, I believe we're going to another renewal. That's why it's called the second death. They're going to go through a process of a second death. We're going through the process of the first death. But I don't want to get into that because that's a whole nother thing. But why I say I
go ahead.
The reason why I share it is because I'd say that's how great God's grace and mercy extend. It extends far beyond what we see now. It's going to extend to those who are lost even now.
That, yes.
You know, it's anyway.
Well, that's really what I started with before we end this. You are ending where I started. And where I started is that I said that God's grace and his mercy is not just upon those that follow him, those who are serving him. No, his mercy and grace are upon whoever he wants that he created, but that the extent of his mercy and grace is duly multiplied even more so in those who follow him, those who are walking with him. So during the times that he extended his mercy that I know of, because I don't know everything, that he extended his mercy upon my life, and that I didn't have to pay the full repercussion of what could have been for me, because there are some that I do know, his mercy was extended to me beyond my deserving ever, his mercy, without me even knowing, because I wasn't serving him. I wasn't following him. I didn't understand what I understand today. So you just said what is truth. Truth is he extends his mercy on grace on the saved and the unsaved. Now, the thing is, guys, that doesn't mean we're not calling you to serve him and be saved, because when you serve him, you will have abundance in your life beyond, way beyond what you have ever experienced or know or have ever recognized that it came from God. So there is a huge benefit, not in becoming a religious person, not in becoming a denomination, whether you are Baptist or Pentecostal or non-denomination, but there are the benefits and the rewards and the love and the mercy and the peace and so much more if you serve God. So I say to you, why would you want to have this much mercy? Let's say I'm going to be this much mercy when there is an abundance of it when you're in relationship with him.
When you say serve God, what do you mean by that?
What I mean is walk in his ways. Like he has to be my number one. And that's not something that I just say one time in my life. There's a lot of things that try to get in the way of him being number one in my life. One being my own troubles. At any moment, I'm focusing more on a trouble, on a trial, on a something negative than I am on my God. And I'm
So you're saying that serving God is really serving ourselves, because when we focus on God and his goodness, that now
he's a servant. Could you believe it?
We're serving ourselves.
Because he serves us. I don't say I serve myself. By me serving God, I don't do it because,
I just meant when we, in serving God, we are serving ourselves. In serving God, we are serving humanity, because his mission is for all of us. And so, When I hear you say serve God, for me, it's like, how am I extending his love to others?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with my righteousness or my works, in a sense where what can I stop and what should I change?
Right.
What can I do?
Right.
as a body, as a member of the body, how can I serve my fellow brother? And that's how we serve God. That's why he says, when did you see me hungry? See you hungry? Or when did we see you thirsty? Or when did we see you in jail? Or when did we see you, destitute and all that? He said, when you did it to the least of these. And we realize that ministry is not about me getting my life right. Ministry is about me serving the very food that I'm eating and the very thing that I'm receiving for God to others. That service. Or else I'm not doing what Christ told Peter, feed my sheep. He told him three times, feed my sheep, Peter. Well, feed my sheep. He's like, I'm a feed. Three times he said, I want you to understand what I'm saying. Stop getting caught up in you, because you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. You're going to deny. So stop getting caught in you and just feed my sheep. And I got you. I got you. My righteousness is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My love is sufficient. Just bathe on that. And that way you can serve one another.
And in closing, guess what scripture I'm about to read? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, God said to Paul, this was, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, insults, hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, that's like, to me, surrendering God to God, understanding that God's grace is there for me, like I said before, to everything that I need. It is there. And my brothers and my sisters, before we close, and I know he's going to say some closing words on that, just know that you're loved by God, that there is absolutely nothing so horrendous that you could have done that God cannot forgive you for, that has not already given grace to your life for, that cannot see you through. That's not true. He's already been done it. Give your heart to him. We urge you to commit your ways to the Lord. Look, it's as simple as this. It's not like go to an altar at home. I actually said it to the Lord before I even did it at the altar. I said, if there's a God out there, show yourself to me because I need you. And guess what? It didn't happen that same day, but I can tell you all the little steps and all the processes where I started seeing that God was showing me the way. And I finally got to that place. So my brother, in closing, what would you have to say? Because we could be here forever.
I'll share Romans 4. Before I do, I have this thing that I wrote here that said, God did not give us the law. God did not give us the law to set us free. He gave us the law to give us the yoke. And because of that, the law, we're not to, his yoke is easy in Christ. My burden is light. My law is difficult. My law is impossible. In fact, when he promised Abraham the promise that I will deliver you and your seed, that was even before he gave Moses the law. That was way before it. He gave a promise. And then he said, now I give them my law because they're bananas. They're not even, they need laws to guide them. So the law was given for those who are not believers. That's why they have a law. However, for us, we haven't been given the spirit of bondage, or it's actually we are now free in Christ. So I want to read this thing. Romans 4 says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them.
Amen.
And that is only found in the life and mercy of Christ.
I couldn't think of any better way to close that with that scripture. I am so glad that you were on today, and I want to tell you that this is the way the Lord moves. And what I mean by that, to the listening audience, is that my brother felt that he wanted to speak about God's grace. And again, there's like a lot more we can talk about and about salvation. Once he said that to me, I was put to a place where I had to go and wrestle with a lot of questions I had on my own about grace and mercy. And it has been such a blessing because neither one of us has spoken nor put together anything and read to each other any scriptures. But what my brother was saying was already written down by me here in the scriptures of many in the entire Bible. There's no coincidence. There's no coincidence. We're brothers and sisters, and we both sought the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to both of us, as I hope and pray that you will allow the Lord to speak to your heart today, because God is speaking through his word. And I pray, and we pray, that you will be blessed by two is better than one. And my brother, you can close as you want, and please pray us out.
I do want to say that whoever is listening to this, if you feel you have a yoke of slavery by way of Christ, and you feel that you are trying to be a good Christian, and you are trying to somehow fashion yourself before God and finding, you know, just you can't seem to get it right, or are you saved, or are you not saved? I encourage you to read the book of Galatians. It's about five chapters, six chapters. I'm not even sure. It's short. But man, it packs a lot of punch on the clarity of serving God's old law that was given to the Jews versus God's new covenant that comes by way of Christ. The new wine and new wineskins, not new wine and old wineskins. It's a whole new story. And I pray that people receive it, that they're set free from religiosity and religion. Amen. And come to a genuine relationship that God truly loves you.
Galatians 5:1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. I read it in two different versions. Amen. Close us out in prayer. Amen.
Right on. All right. You want me to close us out in prayer, you said?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so much for Arlene and her commitment to you, my Lord Father, and her desire to encourage the brethren and encourage us, strengthen us in your ways, oh Lord. May you continue to bless her ministry. May you continue to bless her heart, her life, her husband. Let her know that truly she is your daughter and you will see all things over her. There's nothing to worry. Let her not be concerned about what she's going to eat or what she's going to wear or what any concerns there. But let her truly just find true joy and in Christ, my Lord, and in his grace. And I pray the same for myself and for everyone who's watching and listening, Father. I pray that we all just come under your banner of love, under your wing of mercy, Father God. Amen. May we find that we are truly been sanctified. We do not sanctify ourselves, but you have set us apart by way of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. May we proclaim the gospel to the world, and may the world know the beauty of Christ until the day of your coming, O Lord. In your name we pray.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Do you know just the first stanza of Amazing Grace?
Grace, how sweet the sound. I know the chorus. I know his story. He lost his family.
No, I know the story too. But the reason I'm going to edit this part, but I wanted to do this part with you. Do you want to sing it with me? I wanted to put a piece of it. Okay? Amazing Grace. So amazing grace, how sweet the sound. All right, let's start. Let's start again. Go look it up on your phone. I once was lost.
I got it.
But now I found. Was blind, but now I see. That's it. Okay. All right. One, two, three.
Where are you going to start? What's your key? Amazing grace. Yes. That's where you're going?
Sweet. Yeah.
Are
you ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that saved
a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't know what it's going to sound like. It might have echoes.